This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen here with you. The children of mothers with borderline personalities can spend a lifetime gaining freedom to transcend the intense, unpredictable, and volatile relationship with their moms. Well, here with more on this is Dr. Susan Chabowski. She's an assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Chabowski. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
So children of mothers with borderline personalities have a really tough row to hoe. Tell us about that.
Yes, they certainly do. These children often suffer from very low self-esteem, depression. Many times they present with suicidal ideations because of their poor self-esteem. Commonly we see these children presenting with self-mutilation. They'll come in as what we call cutters. They also have poor interpersonal relationships with others. They also tend, as I said, to suffer from depression, severe anxiety. And in addition, many times, because of the poor interpersonal relationship of their families, they've been victims of trauma. So we see a very high incidence of either physical or emotional or sexual abuse.
Wow.
So these children will oftentimes come in often very angry, aggressive, and very disruptive. So they will have difficulty going to school because they're getting into fights, and so their presentation will be more of anger.
That's very interesting. So let's get back to the core of this. So we talk about the borderline the mother with borderline personality. Tell us, what does that mean? What does it mean to have a borderline personality? And then I want to get into, how does that affect your mothering?
Well, an individual with borderline personality is basically, a personality disorder is a pervasive way that you live. It's how you interact with people. It's the way you feel about yourself, and it has to be a pretty much persistent pattern. It's not something that just happens for a month or two. And what these individuals do is a borderline will have problems with impulsivity, poor relationship patterns. They have oftentimes very angry outbursts. They also have emotional swings, which sometimes they end up diagnosed with bipolar, which is oftentimes not the case, because they get intensely depressed, and then their mood will switch rapidly.
So they do have these mood swings.
Definitely.
I read somewhere that they also tend to treat the child that they may have, obviously, as a mother, as a kind of a need-gratifying object rather than a child to whom they can give somewhat selflessly. In other words, it's all about them.
Yes. If you have, if you feel unloved, the natural instinct is to create something that will love you. So someone who has borderline personality may feel that, oh, if I have a child, this baby will love me forever. However, at age about 1.5, it's normal for children to undergo what we call individuation separation. And you probably remember when you were a little child that you started to explore the world, take a few steps, go back, see your mom, take a few more steps, go back, see your mom. And the borderline interprets that as abandonment.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, this child is now leaving me after all I've done. Mm. So the borderline doesn't understand that, and actually could potentially become very angry that I've done this, I've had this child, and now this child has abandoned me just like other people have.
So that person, the borderline mom, obviously starts with a poor self-esteem herself.
Yes.
But then she basically projects this abandonment onto the child, and obviously that's a very inconsistent and erratic kind of, that's a tough mix there.
Well, basically from the beginning, when you have a child, the first thing you do is to interact with a child. You make eye contact with the child, your child makes eye contact with you, and there's kind of what we call mutual gaze, And this moves on to the two of you kind of forming what we call attunement. You smile, baby smiles. And there's also mirroring that goes on where the baby looks at you and you look at the baby, you smile, baby smiles, and you develop this reciprocity that's unique between a mother and an infant. That doesn't occur with a borderline. So the baby never gets that from the mother. And as a result, the baby never develops the ability to self-soothe, which is true of the mother as well. And when you're if you're an individual out there in life, you have within you that self, that safety, that the world is a safe place.
You're saying you must have that in order to have a stable life.
In order to have a stable life.
Or somehow to be able to find that within yourself.
Correct. When life is overwhelming, you can soothe yourself. Okay, you can go back to when, you know, you had your mother to calm you and you know you're a good person and life was kind and safe and you were warm and secure. But if you've never had that base and you don't know what it's like to soothe yourself, you can see why these children overreact, become very angry, become very aggressive, and so they cannot self-soothe.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen along with psychiatrist Dr. Susan Chabowski, and we're talking about mothers with borderline personalities and the impact on their children. So does anyone have a clue, or is there a concept, a theory for the etiology of the borderline personality to begin with? It almost sounds to me like generational. In other words, if a borderline person raises a child, they almost become borderline. And does it go on and on, or is there something else at the core of why someone becomes a borderline and then a mother?
Well, clearly, it does appear that if your mother's borderline, there's a fair chance of you too becoming that, because you just, the way what we call attachment, which occurs after 6 months, you need a mother. You need a mother who's going to give you what we call a secure attachment. And a mother who's a severe borderline is unable to accomplish that. And so the child will never have that stability of what we call a transition object, a safe maternal object within inside of them for which to grow and develop a personality.
So basically, the characteristics of this borderline personality disorder are really likely to hinder both the bonding that you've been talking about and the attachment of the mother to the child. What, besides obviously all the things that you've described about self-soothing, a sense of self-esteem, maybe a sense of even self-love because you've felt unconditional love, and in this case with a borderline mom, you might never feel that. It sounds like everything is very conditional, mm-hmm. and it's conditional in a direction where is if you don't do this for me, I won't love you kind of thing, or if you're not devoted to me, I won't love you. So that's a very dangerous combination there. How does it affect the development of the child? In other words, do you see in these children that they may have cognitive limitation in any sense, or is it all pretty much around psychological development, emotional development?
No, there has been studies in terms of MRI of the brain, and there are definitely changes within the brains of borderline personality individuals. And yes, there are cognitive changes as well. One of the biggest concerns we have that many times these moms are substance users as well. And women who use alcohol during pregnancy or other substances, of course, that's going to impact.
You can have babies with fetal alcohol syndrome.
Correct. Fetal alcohol syndrome. Smoking cigarettes has been linked to ADHD. We also see mothers who use cocaine.
Secondary characteristics of people who start out with borderline and develop these other kind of crutches, so to speak, will have impact on their babies as well.
Yes.
So there's that whole other sphere of interaction.
Yes.
It sounds like they're pretty much two down before they even start out.
Yes.
So in your experience, What kind? I have two questions regarding therapy, because I know you're seeing children with this type of disorder regularly now. First of all, for the moms, are there therapies that are effective and can really maybe forestall some of the effects on their either, you know, young children or children to be?
Yes, there are several therapies available for adults that have been proven to be effective. At Upstate, we have a very active dynamic deconstructive psychotherapy
program. Can you help explain what that is?
Yes, that was actually something that was discovered or invented by Dr. Gregory, who's the professor and chair of the Department of Psychiatry. And what that does is basically, simplistically, deconstruct the personality and construct it in a different manner, in a positive way.
Is that mostly talk therapy?
Yes, yes.
And is it a very long and intensive process?
No, it's manual driven. It's available on the internet for other psychiatrists.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a year long, and we're the residents and the fellows are trained here at Upstate, and I myself was trained in using it, and we found it to be very effective for the adults.
So that you're saying that, I mean, I guess my question is, it's effective. So theoretically, if you found a young woman or a woman with borderline personality who was contemplating starting a family, and you intervened prior to this, could you think, forestall the negative effects of that personality? I mean, could you basically help that newborn or that soon-to-be-born child?
Yes. There is, as we mentioned in our article, there's also dyadic therapy where we encourage people, especially primary care, obstetrics, when they see problematic relationships between mothers and infants, to refer them for dyadic therapy.
What is that? I don't want to run out of time. What is that briefly?
You're encouraging the mother and the infant to bond. If you notice that a mother doesn't look at her child, doesn't cuddle her child, doesn't coo with her child, it's almost like they're holding a doll, then you can get a sense that this mother is not relating in an emotional way with
her
child.
So there's a way to intervene.
Yes.
In the very little bit of time we have left, what works with the kids? Now you have children with this kind of the impact of the borderline. What therapies have worked that you've seen?
What they use most commonly is called dialectical behavioral therapy. That is an individual as well as group process. That's also available here at Upstate, and it teaches children ways of dealing with stress. They have a therapist, and that they can call if they're having an emergency. So that's
and you've
usually
seen
used.
Good success with that?
Yes.
This is very interesting, and it sounds like the key would be to get to the moms before they have kids or during that early bonding period.
Definitely.
And it would save a lot of angst and a lot of lives. But thank you so very much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Susan Chabowski. She's assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Upstate Medical University. Thanks once again for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.